It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Barrett. As a young student, Sherman Funmaker never saw himself as a writer, much less a poet. His dream? To become a rock and roll drummer. He attended school near Wisconsin Dells and dropped out when he was 16 to pursue that dream, first in Madison and then in California. Later, he returned to Wisconsin. At age 50, he enrolled in college at UW-Baraboo, where he got a degree in English. These days, writing is a big part of his life and identity, and he travels the state teaching workshops on storytelling. Now he's revisiting his own life story in a new memoir filled with poetry and reflections. Sherman Funmaker is a Ho-Chunk poet and storyteller from Wisconsin Dells. His new book is called Bear Tracks, Memories of a Ho-Chunk Elder, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Sherman, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, at one point in Bear Tracks, you say you don't necessarily remember a ton about your childhood, but there's enough to fuel a lot of the poems and get a taste of your experience growing up in the 50s and 60s. How did the process of writing these works and putting together this book help you dig into those memories?
Well, first let me say that I didn't start writing until I was like 52. I went to university, and while I was there, I took a creative writing class. And during that time, well, before that, I had never really written anything. You know, maybe a couple letters to my folks while I was away, but I wasn't ever thinking about writing. But during those university years when I had to hand stuff in, I just started writing, and I had no idea how to write a story. I didn't think I had any stories in me, you know, at that time. I thought, how am I going to do this? But when I started doing it, it just started coming out. I just, you know, once I got into my head, like, okay, I can remember the story about me and my cousin Joe, or I can remember stories about me and my mom and dad driving, you know, to powwows or whatever that was, you know. So it helped me go back once I started writing, because I had to put something on paper.
This is one of the things I love about the book. You got that late start in writing. You weren't into school. You dropped out at 16. No. We'll talk about that in a little bit. If I went back and told 16-year-old Sherman, hey, you're going to be a writer, right? And it's going to be super important in your life. That would have been a big shock to that young guy, right?
That would have been like, you're crazy, man. I can barely write. You know, I dropped out of school, and even in grade school, I missed so much. I skipped so much school, it wasn't even funny, you know. So, yeah, at that time, and even 20 years ago when I started writing, a lot of these are like 20, 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And so even then, I'd never dreamed like, oh, this will be a book. You know, like I never thought about that at all. I didn't think of anything. I don't have kids, and so I was wondering, too, as a matter of fact, you know, having all this writing, because I've done poetry and haikus, short stories. I'd wrote a screenplay, you know, a treatment for a film and a play, a short play. Like, what am I going to do with all this? So before the Wisconsin State Historical Society hooked up with me, I thought, oh, I'm just going to have to self-publish because I need this to, you know, I want this not to be sitting in some pile of papers, but I want it to be in something, you know, that I could hand out. So then the Historical Society comes along and they go, hey, we really like your stuff. We could do a book for you. So I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool. Like, okay, let's do a book.
And you mentioned at some point in the book, writing, at least at some points, has been therapeutic for you.
I think at the time when I started writing was that I was going through a divorce and I was going through this and that and life stuff and money stuff and, you know, just life things, you know. And when I started writing, I found out pretty quick that, you know, I could tell you a story in one page, uh-huh. You know. And once I started doing that, then I was like, okay, I got that out into the into the universe. So I got that down on paper. I got it down. I printed it out. Okay, it's out there. So to me, that just started to be more therapy. I didn't feel like talking to somebody about paying somebody $100 an hour so they can, where I could just, you know, where I could just blast out a short story or something. So that's how it became therapy for me.
Now you've got a copy of your book here. People might hear you paging through it as you talk, and it's fine. But Lord, that makes me think though, what was it like for you the first time? Okay, you did this book. Historical Society says, yeah, we'll publish it. The first time you held that book in your hands, like you're doing right now.
Oh my gosh. It's beyond my wildest imagination. I never thought, never. When I got the first one in the mail, I literally cried. I really did. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm holding this thing. And I don't have to self-publish, you know. Uh-huh. I can hand this out, you know. I can read from this, but yeah, I was overwhelmed because, like I said, having, you know, as a high school dropout, never wrote anything. I didn't know I was like an okay writer because I feel like that's kind of, you know, a lot of these are just kind of like, to me, I'm just like, well, that's not my best stuff, you know. But but what it was that it was, you know, it's a lot of emotion involved in that, and that's why I think that's why people who have read it now in the past 2 weeks or so, is like they're just very. It's like it's almost like a diary or a journal. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, we get the humor. We get this and that. We get all these, you know, love stories or stories about life growing up, you know, native in Wisconsin. So that's what it was. It was just like a really nice journey.
I want to go back and meet the 16-year-old Sherman. You drop out of high school, like you said. You were going to live the dream. You came to first Madison, then California to play rock and roll. Yeah. What led you there?
Well, I started playing music when I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are the Beatles. Bring them on.
So I was like 12 years old, 11, 12 years old at the time. And I was always like a music guy. I was always, you know, I could remember lyrics and I could sing and, you know, and so when I saw them, I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I didn't care. You know, I was kind of an athlete and I wasn't good in school. So that was like my thing was like, okay, now I have something that I can really sink my teeth into. So I started playing then. Soon after, we got a little crappy. Back then, there was garage bands. Called them garage bands.
Sure.
And they all sucked, you know, and we sucked too.
I played in a garage band when I was 16. And
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
We sucked.
Yeah. Everybody. But it was fun. It was like, I'm not going to make money doing this. You know, I'm not the best drummer, and I won't ever be the best drummer or singer or anything. But I just, like, I had to do it. It was just like a part of, like, this is, you know, this is what makes me feel good. This is what gives me joy. And so that started the whole music thing. And then everything was going on in California. So when I was 19, my buddy Steve and I hitchhiked from Austin, Wisconsin, to L.A. So, yeah, cool journey. I don't remember it all. I mean, I wish I could remember. I mean, I don't remember, like, the whole thing. I just remember getting off in L.A., and it was smog, and I thought it was rain. I thought it was cloudy and rainy. Like, no, that's smog.
We're talking to Sherman Funmaker about his new book. It's called Bear Tracks, Memories of a Ho-Chunk Elder. All right, I hit the word elder hard, right? Because you're looking back on this, right? And through the benefit of the years of experience. But in your poems, and even in some of your essays in there, I still hear the 16-year-old kid in there. You're the same guy in a lot of ways. I don't know. How do you juggle being an elder and a young rock and roller all in the same person?
You know, I think that when I was writing these, it was easy for me to go back because to me that was like a really, it was such a good time for me. You know, I was with my family. I'm one of 11 kids, so my mom and dad, they worked hard. They did what they could to keep us straight and keep us on the straight and narrow as much as possible. But, you know, just going back, it's always easy for me to go back and write about, you know, my cousins, my mom and dad, my grandmother, Mountain Wolf Woman, mm-hmm. my grandfather. And so even now, I mean, I'm 73 and I don't feel 73. You know, I really don't. I feel like 25, except for my body, you know, like, yeah, aches and pains and, you know, my eyeballs are going. So, but other than that, you know, I still feel pretty young.
Hey, you just mentioned your family, Mountain Wolf Woman, who's legendary autobiographer out there, your grandmother. What does it mean to you to share her story and the stories of your relationship with your parents and siblings and others in these poems? You're not sharing their whole biography, but you're capturing part of what they meant in your life.
Yeah. It just means the world to me that, you know, every day, you know, I just feel blessed. You know, I just feel like I'm glad I'm alive. I'm glad that, you know, I have my siblings and these memories of my mom and dad. And I do remember Stella Stacy was Mountain Wolf Woman. That was my mom's mom. And so I do remember her little house in Black River Falls. And I do remember some stuff, not everything. But just that whole, like, homey I don't know how to describe it. It's just like, you know, I'm home here in Wisconsin. Yeah, I got to travel. I got to live in L.A. and live in New York and lived all over the, you know, the country. But it's like when I came back here, and it was like, okay, this is where I should be for now.
You write some about, you know, stereotypes and expectations in your life beyond, you know, you're a Native American guy from Wisconsin, rock and roll drummer inspired by the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show at the same time. You've got a poem called The Indian Poem. Starts up, they want me to engine it up to speak of the earth and moon. I mean, you've gotten that a lot in your life. Hey, man, do Indian stuff.
Being Native, you find, you know, you run into people who, how do I say this? You know, like they like the Native life and the Native idea of living or whatever
vibe
that is.
Or something, yeah.
And so when I was in school, I thought, 25 years ago, I thought, I'm not going to write about the moon and the sky and the stars. And, you know, that's not me. Mm. You know, I'm not that type of a, you know, I'm not a medicine man. I'm not a, you know what I mean? I'm just like a regular guy that happened to write a bunch of stuff down on paper. And now it's in a book.
But on the other hand, you start looking into these things, and Bear Tracks is the title of the book, referring to your Bear Clan identity. You've dug into that some. Maybe it's, you know, you're not exactly what people want in the Indian poem there, but it's part of you too, yeah?
And that's a part, I think, too, a part of the humor. A lot of the stuff is kind of funny, and I wanted it that way because I don't want to be like a serious, everything's serious, and, you know, I was poor and I was this, you know? I wanted to like, that's just how I started writing. And once I got into that, like the whole writing groove, then that's what I wanted to talk about was, you know, yes, this is who I am. And I'm proud to be a Ho-Chunk tribal elder. And I'm proud to be one of the grandsons of Mountain Wolf Owen, but also my parents and the whole community that I live in. You know, they've all supported me and I love them for that.
Another shock for young 16-year-old Sherman. Not only do you write and gotten into writing, you're doing workshops about storytelling, right, for students and people of all ages. What kind of advice do you have for them? They're not going to share exactly the stories you share, obviously, or the way you share them. How do you encourage them to tell stories the way that's right for them?
Well, in 2007, I went to University of New Mexico for a year, and I studied the arts and acting, and I was terrible. But when I came back in a couple of years, you know, I started mentoring the Ho-Chunk kids. And so we did video stuff and we did, but it's just fun to, that's kind of got me started on the whole mentoring. And then once I figured out that this was therapy for me, then that's kind of what I wanted to focus on was that for me, this helped me. This helped me to be able to just live and survive and to really really find out about myself, I guess, is that, you know. And so when I talk to people, I always get them to, like, you need, you know, everybody has a story. I never thought 25 years ago that, no, never, ever, ever. But I said, everybody has a story, and they do. I'm just trying to encourage them to, like, you know, find out what it is that, you know, put it on paper so it's here. You know, it's somewhere so that people can, you know, can look at that or can read it and to kind of take a look inside your life. So that's what I do. I just try to encourage them to just write. Even if you're writing a letter to your mom and dad, just write. So they'll have some. That's why we keep birthday cards and Christmas cards, is because somebody took the time to put something on there and write their name. So
I got to ask before I let you go, do you ever sit down at the drums anymore?
I do have a part of a drum set at my house, and I used to be really pretty good, I thought. I used to practice before going to California. I used to practice probably every day after high school, you know, and I'd practice in this crappy band. We'd practice together, but, you know, I wanted to be the best that I could be. I never thought I'm going to be the best drummer. No, never. But I want to be the best that I could be. And so I put in hours and hours. And you know, the cool thing about that was one day I thought about that and looking back and I thought, you know, my mom and dad never, ever said anything about being loud. Never, ever said quiet or, you know, never. And I didn't even think about that till, honestly, it's like years and years later. And they were so supportive. And, you know, my mom, by hook and by crook, she got me, you know, my drums and whatever I needed. They were my roadies, you know. We'd play in these stupid little bar bands, we called them back, you know, when I was a kid. And mom and dad would show up and they'd you know, they'd be there watching and listening. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. They were pretty cool.
Sherman, thanks so much for sharing your stories with us.
Thank you.
That was writer and storyteller Sherman Funmaker talking about his new memoir from the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. It's called Bear Tracks, Memories of a Ho-Chunk Elder.